I tell you what, it is good to be here this morning. This is my first opportunity to come share the word with y'all. And yeah, I did just say y'all. I can't control it. Maybe someday you will fix me. And if you do, it's okay. It's just been pounded in my brain since I was a child. Y'all, so hey, it's okay. Before we dig into the word, I just wanted to give a little, just a catch up of what's going on in my life and what's going on, because it's been a few weeks since I've been able to come up here and share with you. In the last few weeks, praise the Lord, we sold our house in Illinois, and we are super, 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 super excited about that. We actually had an accepted offer before we came here, but then we started having well issues on the house, and so we had this panic attack of what is going to happen. But praise the Lord, closing was on the right day. It happened the same day that was planned, and everything went well. At the same time, we also made an offer on a house here in Port Washington, and so we have a place to be moving here in about 3 or 4 weeks, probably closer to 4 weeks. And so we are excited. Man, my family is excited to be here. I cannot say this enough. And I say this probably too much, but if you get tired of hearing me say this, I'm sorry. But I love you guys, and I feel your love. All right? You guys, from the just outpouring of love from my body of believers here, my brothers and sisters here, you guys have just continually just poured love on our family. Thank you. Thank you. My wife and kids will be here in the second service, but I can tell you, as a father and as a husband, to know my family's loved, that goes a very long way. It means the world to me. So thank you so very much. I tell you what, not only is my family loved, but my family loves this church. Just this past Wednesday night, I was talking with the Brett's family, and Jenny was actually asking me, she asked the question along the line of, well, how you feeling? You've been here almost a month now, and how you feeling? And I go, you know, I feel right. Like, this is right. And then my daughter, Claire, who's 13, she's just like nodding her head like, yeah, this is, I tell you what, it just, so anyway, I just shared that to say thank you. It's a blessing to be here. We are excited to be working. I'm excited to be working with not only the teenagers. I tell you what, I love teenagers. There's something about teenagers that I believe God just wants to, man, work in their lives. And so many people look at teenagers as the future. And I don't look at them as the future. I look at them as today. I look at them as saying, wow, God wants to use them today. Because the truth is, if we look in scripture, if we look at the disciples, most of them were probably teenagers, young punk teenagers, who honestly had a fire in them. And Jesus said, I see something in them, and I just want to use a fire, and I want to knock down the gates of hell with them. And that excites me. And that is why I love working with teenagers. But not only teenagers, I love working with families, and I'm just excited to be working with any parents, any adults, anybody here that just says, hey, Nate, you know, I know we have Pastor Sid, I know we have Pastor Jim, but I want you to know, let me love you too, all right? I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to minister with you guys. And there's a lot of things that excite my heart, but there's actually a few things that also scare me. And it's not scare in the sense of, oh, like I'm like running away fearful. But and it's not necessarily just here, but it's across America. I see Christianity. I see the churches of America today. And I see us being very busy sometimes. Looking a good part. I see us busy, almost like someone with a vacuum cleaner. Frantically vacuuming the floor, trying to clean things up, going crazy, and they're like, ah, I gotta get this clean. There's a part over here, and they're doing this, and they're running around vacuuming everywhere, their life. But the reality is that vacuum is not even plugged in. So they're frantically doing the good works, doing the thing, and they're running around, ah, I gotta get this, people are looking, my house is dirty, ah, and they're freaking out. And yet, it's not plugged in. And I see the American church oftentimes that exact way. We're trying to look apart. And yet our house is still dirty. And I'm not saying the building here. I'm saying our personal lives. And we're going, what is going on? It's almost like there's a great disconnect. We see in our minds and we think in our minds, I've got to clean up this mess. But we try to do it without being connected to the source that empowers the vacuum cleaner of our life. This morning, we're going to look at a passage. And we're going to be talking about being rooted. Being rooted. Now, the passage we're going to start with, honestly, is one of the passages in the Bible that's probably my least favorite. And it's one that honestly brings probably the saddest, it's one of the saddest for me. It's very sombering. It's very like, what? Really? But it's a reality check. In fact, it's in Matthew chapter 5. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 5. And this morning, we're going to talk a little bit about fruit. Now, here's the thing about fruit. I love fruit. I love different kinds of fruit. My favorite fruit is strawberries. And I don't have any strawberries here today. But I tell you what, there's something about fruit that's just, it's refreshing, it's sweet, it's got the sugar in it, which I love the sugar. Yeah, you don't get to be my size without loving sugar. And yet, there's just something amazing about it. But have you ever had a fruit that you bit into that you went, oh, like, it was nasty? Yeah. Sometimes, there is fruit that is nasty. And we're going to be talking about fruit here, being rooted in fruit, or rooted in our roots. So let's look at Matthew. I'm sorry, I said Matthew 5. I meant Matthew 7. I don't know what I was thinking. I wasn't thinking. There you go. There's my answer. All right, Matthew chapter 7. It's up here, but you can also follow along. I love that you follow along. And there's a reason why I love you follow along, because I could type up here anything I wanted to say, right? So when you have your word in front of you, you can sit there going, wait a minute, that's not what it says. So you can check it in your own words. So that's why I say turn there, but I also will have it up here. Matthew 7, 15 through 20. Watch out for false prophets, for they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. And a good tree cannot bear bad fruit. And a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down into the fire and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. If you guys have the back of your bulletins, there's a little area right there to fill in some notes. And that point number one, it says, fruit has a story. Our fruit, every fruit, has a story. It tells where it came from. It tells about its roots. We can tell the false prophets, those who are not of God, by their fruit. Now, here's the thing. Some of you are like, well, I know it says that, but what does it mean by fruit? Well, here's the thing. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but understand this. Good trees produce what? Good fruit. And a bad tree produces what? A bad tree produces bad fruit. My grandma, back in Illinois, she lives on this acre of land, and she's got one stinking apple tree in that acre of land. And she used to tell us, kids, go down there. Now, she doesn't sound like that, but as a little kid, that's what it sounds like. You know what I'm saying, right? You're like, kids, you go down there and you pick an apple, and you just eat the apple because that's a Macintosh apple. The best there is. And so we would, you know, happily skip down to the back of the field, to this beautiful tree, and we start picking these apples, and we would take a bite, and then they were like, that was the moment you're going, you know that point where grandma sees you take the bite and you can't throw it away because she says you can't waste, because she came out of the depression, and you're going, what do I do? Because it was the nastiest apple I've ever eaten in my life. It was nasty. It wasn't that it was rotted. It was nasty. But here's the thing. Why was it nasty? It comes from what? A bad tree. You see, our fruit tells a story about the branch. That branch tells a story about the trunk. And that trunk tells a story about the roots. It all stems back to the roots. It stems back to the roots, and it stems back to what are those roots soaking up? Every good tree has good fruit. And every bad tree has bad fruit. But here's the thing. Sometimes we're not even sure what a good fruit is. Let's keep reading. In verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform miracles? Then I will tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. This right here is what I consider the saddest passages in Scripture. It breaks my heart. Because I'm reading this going, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father in whose heaven. Many will say to me on the day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And your name drive out demons, and your name perform many miracles. And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. So often, we look at our fruit and think it's our good works. But here's the thing. Good works do not equal good fruit. Good works do not equal good fruit. See, people generally think their fruit is good. I mean, most of us, unless we're murderers, we have all these issues. We might be a murderer. We might not think we're good. But most of us put us ourselves on a little higher pedestal than we really think we are. We're like, I'm not that bad. I mean, I'm not as bad as that guy on the news. Because, you know, I go to Open Door Bible Church and I sing aloud, and my kids, man, they're good kids, and I've got it all in control. I might even teach at ABF. I am a good person. I mean, look at me. I can strut. I can do my own. I am good. But here's the thing. I don't care how good you think. How many of y'all have ever cast out a demon? Anybody here? I tell you what. When I think of someone who is like, oh, amazing, powerful man of God. I think of someone, man, if you can cast out a demon, you are super duper duper spiritual. Right? Or perform many miracles. Oh my word. I mean, the world follows people all the time that perform miracles. And all of a sudden we're going, They must have good fruit. That must be good fruit. Because it's good works. But people think their fruit is good because they have good works. But remember, good works do not equal good fruit. Good works also does not equal salvation. See, oftentimes we think, well, I'm a good person. Now, we may not say that in our churches today, but it's amazing how it's not long after we, quote, and get saved. We think that we might get saved by grace, but then we think we got to be kept by works. Well, if Jesus is going to really love me, I've got to be a good Christian. You know what? That's hogwash. You know why Jesus loves you? Because he's full of love. He doesn't love you because of you. He loves you because of him. And he says, I love you. So we can't look at our fruit and say, man, My fruit is good because I'm a good person. We can't say fruit is good because we have good works. Because oftentimes we'll look at our good works and go, man, I am a good person because I have good works. But if we're not talking about good works, then what are we talking about? Where do we think about fruit? Well, here's the thing. I want you guys to turn your Bibles. A lot of you guys probably know this passage. To Galatians 5:22. So probably most of us know about fruit in this passage. But I want to talk a few minutes about this type of fruit. Galatians 5:22. The turning of pages sounds so sweet. It really does. Pages of the Word. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now here's the thing. This is the fruit that God pours out of our lives. But this is the sad part. Many of us try to fake our fruit. How many of you ever tried to fake loving somebody? I need an assistance. Reed, can I have your help? Come on up right here, brother. Okay. This is Reed. Everybody say hi, Reed.
Hi, Reed.
That just sounds great. I tell you what, Reed. Right now, you are a tree. So let's say, hi, Reed the tree.
Hi, Reed the tree.
All right. And this is what I want you to do. Just put in a stance like this. Like you are almost like a Superman, all right? But you're not Superman. This is just, these are your limbs, all right? These are your limbs. This is your trunk. This is, I don't know what this is. But it's something. It's bald? Is that what you said? Oh, the leaves are gone. This is fall season. Oh. Anyway, he is one of the best.
Good thing I'm not sensitive.
I'm not gonna say that. Anyway, so many of us try to fake our fruits. Isn't that right? All right. So this is what we do. We say, well, the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit's love, so I'm just going to be more loving. So I'm going to take the fruit of love and I'm going to duct tape it into my life. Just a second. Don't move. We need more duct tape. Don't touch it. You're a tree. You can't move. You're just supposed to sit there and look pretty. All right?
That's not hard.
All right. So we say, I am the fruit of the Spirit's love, so I'm going to be more loving. Because I'm supposed to be more loving. I should be more loving. So I'm going to be more loving. So I'm going to put on love. And I'm going to hold on to it. And stand there. Like a man. Grunt for me. Oh, oh, oh. But that's great. Until you come across someone who's unlovable. You ever come across someone who's unlovable? Who is just downright a nasty person. And you're going, I can't do it. I can't do it. And all of a sudden, this apple, which we call love, starts getting hard to carry a little bit. But we're like, okay, I can do this. So then not only love, we take, I'm going to take on joy. Hold this for a second, Mr. Tree. Just do it. All right, thank you. All right, so we got joy, and we say, okay, well, I'm going to have love, and I'm going to have joy, so I'm going to be happy. So I'm going to try to make up happiness in my heart, because it's all about happiness. And so we're going to work on being happy. So I'm going to have love, and I'm going to love people. But man, the unlovable people, I'm not going to love, because I can't do it. And we can't carry that kind of fruit anymore. So I'm going to have joy. But here's the thing, if sometimes those unlovable people, they end up have a tendency to, man, feel like they're taking the joy out of us. You ever feel like someone just drains you from your joy? And you're around them, you're going, I can't take it anymore. I'm supposed to love them. I'm supposed to have joy. And all of a sudden, it's hard. So we go, well, I gotta have love. I gotta have joy. But then we gotta say, well, I'm supposed to have peace. Here you go. And the love and the joy is there. But it's barely holding on. And then we have the peace, the peach of peace. And it's in our lives. Hands to the side. Thank you. We have the peach of peace in our life. And it's there. But here's the thing. It's really easy when people are easy to get along with. And it's really easy to love people when they're lovable. And it's really easy to have joy when things are going great. Don't touch the fruit.
Okay.
And here's the thing. It falls off. Doesn't it? We think, okay, I'm going to have more peace. And I got to try to have more peace. And it falls off. And it's not long before it falls off. And then we got to put more tape on there to try to hold it on. And so we got the peace. We got the love, the joy, the peace. And we're like, okay, man, I tell you what, in this world, they're chasing after peace. I don't know if you guys know this, but they're chasing after peace. They're running after. They're trying to find any way to have peace. They avoid people. They avoid things. They avoid circumstances just so they could have peace in our life. But then all of a sudden, life gets hard. And they think, patience. Patience. I gotta have patience. But how do you have patience with people that are irritating, that are driving you crazy? How do you do it? And it's all of a sudden you're looking at this going, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. I cannot be kind anymore. I am tired of being kind. I am tired of being the nice person. I'm tired of having it all under control. And I'm tired of living life good. And all of a sudden you're realizing this becomes, even though it's just a little bit of fruit, it becomes very heavy to carry. Because you know you should. And yet you feel like, I can't do it. And you got love, and you've got joy, and you got peace, patience, and kindness. And it becomes overwhelming, and then you have kindness, goodness. And we, man, all of a sudden you're getting to the point, goodness, how can I be good anymore? You're just like, it's getting heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. And we're taping this on right there. Got kindness. And then goodness, and we're going to keep strapping them on there. Goodness. Another banana. Faithfulness. So we've got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And he's going, whew, I've got it all under control. I just better not move. I better not move because if I move, what's going to happen, Reed?
That was perfect timing.
And we think we can live the Christian life like this. But we haven't. We've forgot one more fruit. It's the fruit. It's the biggest fruit, I would say. Because it is the fruit that oftentimes the self-control, if we're doing things in our own flesh, takes the most of. You guys get that? If we're doing it in our flesh, it takes the most this to accomplish everything else. So, your hands. I need you to put your hands up like this. Okay. Hold that for a second. All right. So, we're going to tape this up here. Don't move. Oh, gee, mamacita. We're losing all your fruit there. Here, lay it down. Lay it down on here. We'll do this like this. There you go, like that. It's a little easier. All right. All right. So here's the thing. You got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Stand there for a second. I love duct tape. It is like the fix-all for fix-alls. All right, now don't move.
Okay,
you can put your hands down now. Just right there. Don't move. All right. Now here's the thing. Is this a victorious Christian life? This is a life of impossibilities. This second. This is a life of impossibilities because, guys, we were not created to duct tape fruit into our lives. I'll get on this side so y'all can take pictures. You see, we spin our wheels like that vacuum cleaner that I started with, trying to look good. But if we're not connected, if we're not connected to the source, we are honestly still nothing, and it falls off our lives. Have you ever lost it with somebody? Have you ever said, man, I'm going to love them, and all of a sudden you just they drive you crazy. And you all of a sudden you have no self-control in your life, and you just go off. I've done that. I've done that. If you've done it, we've both done it. And God says, listen, you forgot one thing. It's my fruit, not yours. The fruit of the Spirit. And we try to do it on our own strength. And guess what happens? It falls off, Reed. Just stand there. So I want to look real quick. We're going to go one other passage. Reed, just stand right there. You're good. John chapter 15, 1 through 5. And we're going to just spend the last couple minutes on this passage right here. John chapter 15, 1 through 5. Because this is honestly, I look at this as one of the, a very exciting, dude. Okay. Just go ahead and let it fall. It's okay. We'll put it right here. All right. See, it's all falling off. This is what I consider a very exciting passage because this is where we find our source of strength, guys. And John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5, and it says this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it'll bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word of which I've spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine dresser. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So many of us are trying to grow our own fruit. But I got a question. How many trees sit there going, grow fruit, grow fruit, grow fruit. I think I can. I think I can. I think I can. I don't know of a tree that does that. You know why? You know why a tree grows fruit? Because that's what it's created to do. And it comes from the roots. See, we don't get to try to conjure up fruit in our life. We don't get to do that and think we're going to actually have real fruit. Because we try to fake it, but guess what? Fake fruit is still fake fruit. And then we wonder why oftentimes the world comes to the church and they say, they're just full of fake people. Why? Because we're carrying around fake fruit. But God doesn't call us to be fake. He calls us to abide in him. You see, good fruit begins in the roots. Good fruit begins in the roots. If we don't have good root system grounded in Jesus Christ alone, you guys see that? He says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. If our roots are not in Jesus Christ, and we're not abiding in Him, we cannot have real fruit. It's fake fruit. But here's the thing. If we are abiding in Him, now what does it mean to abide? If you look at the word actually means to remain connected to. Now that's not referring to salvation. What that's referring to is literally being connected to on a regular basis. Having that connection 24/7. It's not about we do our Bible time in the morning. It's about the 24/7 God, us communing with God. I don't know if you guys have ever seen this movie. It's a play as well, Fiddler on the Roof. You guys know that one? I tell you what, it's one of my favorite plays. And it's a story about this Jewish family who are going through a lot of change in their culture, a lot of change in their community, and a lot of change in their family. And he's stuck on this word called tradition. Tradition, tradition. You guys know that, okay? But what I love about this father, his name is Tavia, what I love about it is he, throughout the whole movie, it didn't matter what time of day, he would be walking through life and all of a sudden, everything would freeze. And he would be talking with the Lord in the middle of everything. Now, I'm not saying he is the Christian. I'm saying this. In our life, that's the Christian walk where we are constantly, regularly, consistently connected, regularly abiding in. When we are regularly remaining in that communing relationship with our Father, fruit appears. It doesn't get put on there by us. It appears. See, so often we try harder. But here's the thing. We don't bear good fruit by trying harder, but by abiding. You guys get that? We don't bear good fruit by trying harder. Now, some of you are going to be like, what do you mean, Nathan? We don't have to try. What I'm saying is this. We abide. When we have that continual connection, we don't even have to force love. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be instantaneous because fruit takes time to grow, that God grows it in us. But I'm telling you this. Instead of saying, I'm going to try harder to love that person, I'm going to seek God more. I'm going to rest in Him more. And guess what? All of a sudden, our fruit, real fruit, will follow. Have you been trying hard to carry fruit? Have you been trying hard to tape it to your life and say, I got it under control? I want to tell you something. It's impossible. You can try, and you're going to feel overwhelmed. You're going to feel angry. You're going to feel anxious. You're not going to have peace, even though you're going to think you're going to have peace. You're going to chase after peace, but you're not going to have it. And all of a sudden, you're going to realize it all falls off. It all falls off unless it's connected to the roots. This morning, let's not focus on trying harder to have fruit. Let's focus on more on abiding in Christ, the giver of fruit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that this is a good news because we are not just saved for heaven, but we are saved for so much more. And we are saved not to be busy, but we are saved to have you work through us and you do the work. Lord, let us not try to live a Christian life, but let us surrender our life to you. And let you work it out in us. Lord, let us be real.
Lord, there are many of us, including me, that know that I have lived fake at times, trying to fake it till I make it. But Lord, you have not called us to that. Let us have victory because you give us the victory. Let us have fruit because you produce it in us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.